I sighted the microphone from the green light to the speed trap. Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gas! With mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track. Barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway side. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Side by side, we're playing four-wheel drive on Motormouth Radio.
Damn. Lord, where did you come up with this stuff, Mike? God!
Oh, geez, I was just, you know how it goes, Joe.
Just falls out of your head, don't it?
It kind of does. My head being Ray Guarino, co-host of Motormouth Radio with his wingman and XO next to him.
And other guy.
Joe D.
Hey.
We're sitting here in the studio today because we're not at the car show at Tobey Beach. They did in
because it's like raining and stuff.
They imposed the rain date clause, so we'll be there on May 19th instead of today. We're back in the studio. You can call us 516-572-7440.
I see that the LISRA went ahead with their show today.
Long Island Street Rod Association.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. See,
that's
so.
A tough bunch of guys, and they like to have their swap meet out in the mud. That's Vic's crew.
Yeah. That's a brave set of souls right there.
Also, it's Carlisle weekend. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on. There's a lot going on.
But so there are intrepid souls out there that still get out.
Yeah, there's probably something going on at the Intrepid, too.
Actually, I'm kind of happy that I'm not having a microphone potentially zap me.
There you go.
You know what I mean? And it's better when the sun's out.
Oh, yeah,
last
absolutely.
Time we did a car show, and we did a live from a remote from a rainy place, we were in a garage.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, which was, okay, it was a garage, but
well,
still.
Look, it was a garage, but it wasn't a garage like our garages, because it had sheetrock, it had lights, it had paint. It was like, I could have lived in that garage.
Seriously, yeah.
But
I bet you there was indoor plumbing someplace.
Yeah, there was a refrigerator and everything.
Yeah.
But if you want to see what we do and keep up with us, make sure you check our website, motormouthradio.com. We also are active on social media, on Facebook, Motormouth Radio, Twitter, Motormouth Radio, and Joe's favorite on Instagram.
Real_Motormouth Radio.
Which is actually my favorite. I like Twitter out of all of them. I like the interface for some reason. I like the what you do.
I got to get used to that. I mean, I'm kind of a Facebook guy, but...
You see, Twitter, Instagram lets me post dually to Facebook.
Yes, simultaneously, cohabitationally,
simultaneously
whatever.
At the same time together, right?
Yeah.
So follow us because you'll see what we do during the week. We get into some pretty crazy stuff in our endeavors, Joe and I, in our lives outside of here. So we do share that with you. You get to see what we do, and
they let us off the leash.
Yeah, or it's just it's the extension of our leashes, but. For now, we're just going to talk amongst ourselves. We are going to be speaking to Mr. Carl Anthony from automoblog.net.
Yeah, which is always fun.
Carl is a great guest. He's a great guy to collaborate with, and he teaches us so much.
Yeah, whole magazine stuff. Yeah.
Oh.
That's cool. Next level media type guy.
Let me not forget that the other show that's going on today, I promised I would mention, is at the St. Patrick's School. It's their 14th annual car show.
Hello, boys!
Yeah, that's right. John Falenza. It is today from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. They had a rain date, but they did not inflict it. They're going to have the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang car out there. They're going to have... What else?
Watch how you pronounce that.
Yes, I know. A replica, which was car handcrafted by Tony Garofalo, which is, that sounds pretty cool. He always has some good stuff. Fun for the whole family. They have games, food, all sorts of stuff, usually a 50-50 and maybe a Chinese auction basket.
Yeah, that show is like an event.
Yeah.
It's good definitely deal. An event. So, I mean, hey.
And that's out in, I guess that's in Huntington, right? That's on...
Yeah.
Yes. He doesn't... Oh, yeah, there you go. It's 284 East Main Street. It is the school, and it's in Smithtown. Main Street in Smithtown.
Oh, Smithtown. Yeah,
look for the St. Patrick's Suffolk. School. Anyone who's around there kind of knows it, but it's easy to find. It's right there. You can't miss it.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
pay him a visit, you know. I don't think they called it. We didn't hear nothing about that, right?
No. I did. John sent me a text this morning, and with a picture of their flyer, reminding me that was the deal. So they're out there, and there they go. Yeah, it says 10 to 4. Right. I'm sorry. So. That was me saying 10-4. I'm sorry. It's there. Go and you'll see it. You'll have a good time.
All right, Broderick Crawford.
Right? Thanks.
Highway Patrol.
Yeah.
I remember that.
So what's going on that we can cover before we speak with Carly after our first
break?
Well,
what kind of a week did you have? I heard you were lugging some iron there.
It was kind of small. You know, we got the heads back for Project Chevelle, for Mike's project, back from Lab. And Richie does a great job. He really does... Nice rebuild job. Mike was like, wow, this is so nice. And he said the same thing everybody says. Well, it's a shame to have to bolt these on an engine. I'm like, yeah. Why do you think guys keep car parts hanging around their house?
Because they're works of art.
Yeah, it's fun to look at. And I realized just how heavy a big block Chevy head is.
Yeah.
Minky. Oh, you know, I had a little issue with my back. I had a strain. It ended up, my chiropractor thinks it was a kidney thing. Whatever. It hurt.
Yeah.
So on Friday, I installed the cam and the cam lifters and timing chain, and was going to put the other head on and held back because my back was bothering me. I didn't want to do something stupid.
Right, exactly, because when you're maneuvering that thing onto the dowels and so forth, you don't want to be scraping anything, or, you know, all of a sudden next, oh my God, why is that on top of the control arm?
Yeah, or on my ankle.
Yes, exactly.
And you know, I don't know
what that nice smooth surface, you know, the gasket sealing surface gets a nice gouge in it.
Yeah.
No, so you want to do it right, and if you're not up for it, and it's not like you're in the shop, and you know the fat woman is out there in the waiting room waiting for a car back or something.
Right. Well, that's the thing.
Take your time.
We've been involved with these cars and parts pretty much all our lives, which is really cool.
Right.
Now, the...
Well, that's another thing I just thought of. We were like 20-something years old last time. I mean, you know, last time I slung a set of big block heads. Yeah, big block. I was like 25.
I haven't had big block heads off in a while. I've had other heads off. But I did realize I had that. I was thinking when I did that, like, wow, the head is so heavy. So imagine what two heads weigh.
Right.
Then imagine the block. And it made me, and I looked and I said, damn, these cars got a lot of power.
Yeah, exactly.
To move that kind of weight.
Just to move themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, that's exactly. Like how some of these new little energy efficient cars, you know, you can pretty much turn them over with a rubber band compared to like say any, you know, large V8 of like the 70s or the 60s. They weren't the most efficient things in the world, even though they were probably the most fun.
The advent of aluminum, I mean, really had a good, you know, a big thing, something big to do with that. So that was...
Or that iron to pump.
Right. So I didn't get... I was going to go back to the shop yesterday after my first job, and I didn't. I actually took the day off because I figured, you know what, I got it. Let me just, I'm going to do something stupid to hurt my back, so let me just... I took my Pontiac out. I was cruising. I'm trying to diagnose, as we talked before the show. No one else knows that, just you and I, Joe. But I'm trying to diagnose a tunability issue. I'm trying to fine-tune the carbs, and now I'm into the timing. And
right.
So I spent some time with that, and I said, you know what? I got out and I drove my car and I really enjoyed.
That's the best part of all.
Oh, let me tell you. I just, you know, I told my wife. I said, "All right, I was in the driveway for a while doing some stuff." And I said, "All right, I'm out of here." She goes, "What are you doing? Going for a ride?" I'm like, "Yeah." She goes, "Should I ask where you're going?" I'm like, "No." I said,
"Because I don't know
exactly, because I couldn't tell you, and it was just a matter of just rambling. I did some side street stuff, low gear stuff, because I wanted to see." Just second gear cruisability, if I had any kind of surging, all right? No. Then I wanted to do highway, and I actually got on the parkway and did some higher speed testing, and it all went kind of well. So, you know.
Yeah, a little aerodynamics, a little higher RPM range.
65 Pontiacs at the aerodynamics of a brick.
Yeah, exactly.
You look at it square, you know? So it just, like, shoves the air out of the way. It just is.
Well, that's why you got that large hunk of iron under there doing it, too, you know?
You know, it's the laws of physics and mechanical advantage. And I was just describing to my daughter at dinner the other night why overdrive is so good and how overdrive works. So I was showing her, like, gears with my hands.
Yes.
You know, one-to-one. I said, imagine if this one's half the size.
You didn't take out the puppets, did you?
I didn't go that far, but they were going one-to-two.
Oh, thank God.
So I actually explained to her over dinner how...
You got to see the puppets.
Yeah,
the eyes on that one are scary.
I know. So we actually had an overdrive conversation at dinner, which was kind of cool. So that was just kind of cool because we're playing Bachman-Turner overdrive.
So, yeah, like, by all means, well, Bachman-Turner overdrive, Tremec overdrive, turbo-hydromatic overdrive.
Absolutely.
There's all kinds of overdrive.
Your vendors overdrive, any of them, you know, it's all good stuff.
Big muff pie for the front of your amp.
Yeah, there you go.
There's overdrive.
Yeah.
So in other words, you had yourself not only an interesting and informational couple days, but you've also had some fun, too.
I did. And, you know, and our good buddy Matt Cobain, Brian, had just said he's got my back with those heads, which is good, Brian. You come up here, I'll help you. I'll put you to work, brother. Yeah, you know, I'll get you in the shop. Between me and Joe, we'll get you going.
Right.
But I got to get some of those Matco electric. I want to go the Matco route. I want the Matco electric, the battery-powered, like 3/8 gun and maybe... definitely a 3/8.
The electric stuff rocks, definitely, because, you know, the air hose, you don't have to drape it all over the place. On the dash, I mean, I have my little quarter-inch electric ratchet that... from that one I got from Milwaukee.
Which gets stellar reviews.
Oh, yeah. No, they're a thing.
See, I want to do a test, too, because Mike in the shop has the Snap-on stuff, which I use.
Right.
I want to use the Matco stuff. So I told Brian, if he gets stuff that guys trade in,
mm-hmm.
any refurbs, you know, I'll buy those, because this way I'm not in for as big of a ticket.
Right.
And I could, you know, in my old age, I could be a little frugal.
Actually,
you know?
I don't think you can go too far wrong with any of them.
No.
You know, it's battery life, battery availability, you know what I mean? That kind of thing.
Right.
The thing is, they're lighter. You don't have to whip, like I said before, whip out the hose, you know.
Well, then again, just the other day, I did, both of the mics were in the shop, and I said, look, I went old school again, and I went, beep, beep, beep. I was using my air power, my pneumatic air ratchet.
Ah, yes.
I just, you know what, because I have it, I said, and I just, it's a, like, comfort food. The sound of that thing is like a shop. You know, air ratchet.
That the impact gun. Absolutely. Everybody, I think even non-automotive people recognize that sound.
But I'll tell you, I was running on Friday, I ran a tap through all the deck holes on the block to clean them up. And what I did is
that was an Instagram post, if I'm not mistaken.
It was Instagram, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And
social media.
You go to our website, you can find our Spotify page, too. A link to that where you can find the music that we play in the show, which is cool.
Yeah, definitely cool.
Yeah. So what I did is I ran it, you know, I oiled the tap, I ran it in with, I used a ratchet,
mm-hmm.
and then what I did is I took that 3/8 gun, because the tap adapter I have has a 3/8
drive
in it, and I would run it out with the battery-powered gun.
Okay, yeah.
So that's why if you look in the picture, you'll see the battery-powered gun sitting there in the lifter valley. It was all a matter of, like, switching the tools, you know.
We're getting high-tech, are we now?
You know, you use what you got. So.
Absolutely, no, because I think the battery-powered tools are definitely the way of the future. I've mentioned it a couple times that the car companies have caught on that a lot of the techs in the dealerships use those now instead of regular hand tools, and have adjusted the labor times accordingly, which kind of sucks for the guys on the line, but it goes to show you. But it does make a big difference. Also, at the end of the day, you're less tired.
That's true.
You know, because...
And you don't trip on hoses.
Right, you're right. It's like... You know, you're under the car, you're doing something, this and that. You turn around and you go to grab the, hey, where's my hose?
Right.
You know, and then, of course, the ensuing, locker room humor, shop humor ensues. And you still can't use your ratchet. So,
exactly.
You know, the electric stuff is way better, you know, in that regards. I mean, I learned about it. I was trying to catch up on some diesel tech. Couple of years back, and there was this guy on YouTube, God rest his soul, Diesel Tech Ron, and he was like an ace Ford diesel tech, and he had one of them electric ratchets, a quarter inch drive.
Mm-hmm.
He had all that wacky ductwork, the degas bottle, the whole magilla, and you know, it wasn't, you know, when YouTube, you know how, like, they start speeding up and, like, they triple time.
Right.
You know, this guy in real time had like the top end of that motor apart in like 5 minutes.
Wow.
I was like, holy crap. You know, because they got all kinds of this clamps all over the place, all these mm-hmm. little brackets and stuff. He, and, you know, he knew what like
and
three sockets to do.
Right.
Where to stick his hands. He had the thing apart in 5 minutes. And I saw that ratchet and I was like, I got to get me one of these.
Well, I'll tell you what. I know where the buttons are. I know where my hands have to go. And they're going to go right to this board now. Joe, your hands are going to go on that P base because there's a.
All right, let me plug in.
Yeah, you got to plug in because I got. We're featuring you on this next tune here.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll be back in a couple seconds here on Motormouth Radio with Mr. Carl Anthony from Automobile Blog. Keep it where you got it on 90.3 WHPC.
All the great music has already been written. Think again. Hi, I'm Kim Tracy, and I will prove to you that great new music is still being produced today. Join me on High Fidelity every Sunday at 9 a.m. for a mix of music with a focus on new music and lesser-known artists exclusively on the voice of Nassau Community College worldwide on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, nccradio.org, and always on 90.3 WHPC.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by the Paramount in Huntington. Their concert calendar includes Billy Currington with special guest Stephen Lee Alston on Thursday, May 9th at 8 p.m. Howard Jones in Transform Tour 2019 with special guests Men Without Hats and All Hail the Silence Thursday, June 6th at 8 p.m. and the Marshall Tucker Bands Through Hell and High Water and Back Tour 2019 on Thursday, June 27th at 8 p.m. More information is available online at ParamountNY.com.
This is Dennis Pitzenberger from Sticker Shock, and if you're not listening to Motormouth Radio, boy, you are lost in the smoke of the burnout. Make sure to tune in each and every week because these guys are exactly what you want to hear. Real car guys, real talk, every single weekend.
Nice work on the frets there, Joe.
Yeah, thank you.
That's good.
My fingers don't even have bushes yet.
And I don't know how we got C.F. Turner in here to do a little singing, but, you know, we got a little pull sometimes. We can get these guys to do.
Sure.
They come and help us out, just like our tool friends do. So that's what
Absolutely.
We do here.
Yeah. But those, like we were saying before, those tools, the electric tools, are definitely the way of the future.
You hit a good point, Hal. For the average, like for a home consumer, somebody who's they may be better off going to like in Milwaukee where they can go to a Home Depot or a Lowe's, whereas you know, like with us in a shop, you can get your Snap-on.
Oh, even Craftsman, like you know James, you just mentioned there.
Let's go to the phones and say hi. You're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, Ray. Hey, Joe. It's Carl.
Hey, Carl.
How are you?
What's up, man?
Hey, doing good. Hey, Joe, when you plugged in your PA there, I think it caused a shortage in my phone here in Detroit. So I'm not sure what was going on with my phone. I almost couldn't get you guys there. I was worried.
I'll have to dial it back off 11. I'm really
yeah, he has that propensity to do that, Carl. I know.
Overdrive.
Yeah. Hey,
so
I was
Detroit
loving that conversation.
Yeah.
What's that, Joe?
Overdrive. Yeah, did we make Detroit kind of go dim for a minute there?
Yeah, the lights flickered for a second, and I'm like, oh yeah, it's got to be Joe doing his thing, air guitar or air bass or something.
I figured it might have been because you had another snowstorm, and it was just the power went out.
Yeah, I hope not. I'm ready to be able to roll the windows down when I drive. Let's just say that.
You know,
that's cool.
And up in your part of the country, I saw in the weather yesterday that there was a lot of snow going on. And and down here, we've had some really nice, except for today, with the car show we were supposed to be at got canceled because of the some rain. But, yeah, I mean, I was cruising in my car yesterday with the windows down and just loving life. So It's nice.
Yeah, it's, and I got to tell you guys, I was really digging the Overdrive conversation before.
Okay.
The transmissions are, I just, and maybe I'm just showing the fact that I'm a car nerd, but I love talking about Overdrive gears, and now with modern transmissions, you know, a lot of them have two overdrive gears, so you get the fuel economy benefits of that, and more gears in the box, and closer ratios together for quicker acceleration, and so transmissions have come a long ways, especially the automatic.
The technology is always definitely great, above. Yeah,
you know, Carl, I don't know what started the conversation at dinner with my daughter, but. But along the way, she said to me, "So, but why do you want this? Why would you want to have this?" And I said, "Okay, you know, it's like Babe in the Woods. When you have someone who really just doesn't understand, it takes you back. You're like, what? Like, why would you? Oh, I know why you would ask, because you don't know."
So, yeah, there are some people who don't know that stuff yet.
So, what would your answer be? You know, assume you're talking to a female who's in her early 20s, and and she's seriously asking. She's not asking to be a wise ass. She wants. So, how do you with all the knowledge that we have, all of us collectively, how do you encapsulate that into a cognizant sentence that's going to make sense? Like, what would you say? I'm curious.
Honestly, I would say, you know, and I probably by this point I would have gotten to know a little bit about her, just her daily driving. And I would say something like, look, with modern technology, you know, with overdrive gears and with new technology in cars, it's better in terms of fuel efficiency. So that means when you're driving and going about your life and going about your job, that, you know, you're just stopping at the gas station less. And if you're on a budget, which most buyers of that age are, that a car that has these overdrive gears and this technology is more fuel efficient. Therefore, it will cost you less to drive and it will cost you less to own. So I might take it at that point and just say, look, you know, this is how this technology is going to help you. You know, like, I mean, and we can get into all the ratios
bottom
and, you know,
line,
the fact
there
that
you go.
Yeah, you know, that you know, with modern engineering, you know, you can fit 9 gears or 8 gears in a space that used to have only 5 or 6. Like, there's modern engineering ways to do that. We can talk about the importance of having clean fluid in there, and we can talk about the importance of maintenance and all that stuff. But I think, honestly, guys, I would just meet that person where they are and just say, look, the benefit to you would be this. It's more fuel efficient. It's better for your budget long term. And essentially what it means is that your car gets better fuel economy going down the road. And I do the thing you do, Ray. Like, I do the thing with my hands. I'm like, okay, overdrive gears are taller and they're wider, you know, and, you know, your first gears are smaller and they create more force and they create more spin and all that stuff. Like, you know, and
I use the bicycle analogy,
right?
Yes, but that's what I'm thinking. Yes.
So now the question I have, Joe, your daughter is an engineering student,
right?
So she's smarter than all of us. How do you explain that? To, well, you probably don't have to explain it to her.
No, she kind of knows, but that's it.
Do you try to match wits with her in that case? Or do
No. Right. I don't even try. I mean,
all right.
I brought a duck to a chicken fight with that one.
Yeah,
but it's true. I mean, basically, well, the one discussion I had with her was about power bands. It's like, why do you shift? Like, did you have, you know, we pulled away from a stop sign. I was like, okay, see how the engine went up for a little bit, then it dropped down?
Yep.
What we're trying to do is we're trying to keep the engine in its most efficient power band.
Well, that's perfect, because then you just segue into power shifting.
Yes, well, that we were in a Camry, so.
Oh, okay.
That wasn't happening.
Yeah.
But,
and one of the things we find with our readers, and you give a good description there, Ray. Somebody who is really legitimately asking a question because they don't know. The more people know about cars, not that they have to rip the whole engine out, but the more they know, the more empowered they feel.
Yeah.
And so that leads them to make a good decision when they're buying a car, or that leads them to make a good decision when it comes to maintenance and taking care of the car that they have. So even if they just have that knowledge to go, you know what? Overdrive gears, fuel economy. Okay, now they know something. Now they have more information. Now they're better informed, and then they can care for their car better. They can make a smarter decision when buying it. So, I don't know. Like I said, I mean, we can always have the technical conversation. Sometimes I think for non-car people, boom, you just meet them where they are. Hey, yeah. What do you care about? Oh, you want a fuel-efficient car, or you want something powerful and fast? Then definitely, let's not talk about overdrive gears. Let's talk about gears 1 through 3.
You know? Well, that's the thing. At this point, it's a moot point to talk about fuel injection versus carburation or overdrive versus not, because you can't not have
pretty much technology
these days. So, yeah, you just kind of say that's kind of the way it is, and there you go. That conversation really plays well with someone who's
You ever think that, like, a 6-speed would be, like, the lowest number of gears you get in a car?
No.
No kidding.
And for that many, you have to move it yourself.
I know. It's crazy.
Right. And then adaptive learning, like diesel trucks, like Allison transmissions, like transmissions that learn, you know, and can, you know, do predictive shifting. All that stuff is really interesting to me, how it discourages the truck from like when you're in tow haul mode, that puts the transmission in a completely different bucket. Sport mode is a completely different pattern. Eco mode or, you know, slippery mode, off-road mode, like all these different drive modes that you see in these cars today, they're all manipulating the transmission to do that most of the time.
Yeah. That's it, changing the shift points. They're doing all kinds of stuff like that. And you know what's really funny? When you give someone back their car that they just got a new ECM in it, or even like an extended battery disconnect, and they come back, the car shifts, it idles funny, it shifts, it's got to relearn itself. It's got to get its act back together. Give it a day, it'll be fine.
I saw that in my wife's cruise when I changed the battery. Before I did the throttle body, I felt the transmission shift differently.
Yep.
And you know, when I asked her, my wife said, "No, I didn't notice it." I'm like, I didn't think you would, but you know, I did. And,
sure.
And it'll be back to where I'm happy with it in a couple days. So
yeah.
Don't worry. And she's like, "I'm not
different." Yeah, it knows different drivers too. You know, it learns its main driver.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely.
It's amazing how far they've come, and I know we were talking about that. There's an auto museum here in Ypsilanti. It's not far from where I live, and in that museum in Ypsilanti downtown, because that area was notorious for producing the GM hydromatic transmission.
I was just going to say that name sounded familiar.
Yeah. They have cutaways, guys, of every hydromatic transmission from day one up into the modern generation. And it is amazing to see, you know, how it started and then to see how, you know, more components get added in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and they get more technologically advanced and they get bigger. And you look at the early generation ones and you think, but for the day, that was pretty innovative. Like that was a car that you didn't have to shift. I mean, it was the equivalent of saying, like when Fisher Body Company came, and it's like, now you can have an enclosed body car. Like this is an amazing, like you don't have to have an open body vehicle anymore. So it's like,
right,
you don't have
to, with indoor plumbing.
You don't have to light your headlights with a match.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Yeah.
You know?
Jeez.
Oh, which, how often do you have to change that fluid in your headlights, by the way?
Yeah,
I meant to ask you guys that.
I never do that. The blinker fluid.
Blinker fluid, yeah. We do
blinker
that.
Blinker fluid, yeah, right.
We're nuts about that. It's almost like brake fluid with us. Yeah,
because you absolutely have to be able to signal your turns.
That's right.
Headlights, screw. We got good street lights around here. You know, who cares? Half the people drive around at like 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock right at dusk time without the headlights on anyway, so who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Who cares? Right. Did you know that you guys have, like, hey, did you know that there's a switch for blinkers and there's a switch for headlights? All this stuff is included in your car, and why you never use it is amazing to me.
Amazing is right.
You know? Right. Well, you know, you have to understand the hieroglyphics. I remember getting into cars where it used to say lights, you know, and stuff like that, heater. Yeah. You know, now it's...
I know.
Now it's some picture of a guy holding a lamp.
Yeah.
I was like, hi, Diogenes, how you doing? It's like, what are you doing to my car? What do you want from me?
Right.
It's kind
of screwed
up. Or
the digital screens now.
Oh, yeah.
Right, yeah. I am going to miss my older cars when they finally have to pass on because some of the stuff, too much electronics.
Well, you know, to that note, the other day I did have my Pontiac down at the shop, and I got to drive the grandpa home.
Right.
And I said, and he gets in the car, 65 Pontiac, only with a lap belt, and he's looking for the shoulder belt. I'm like, no, Bill. it's a lap belt only. I said, go back to the days when you were driving, you know. And
right.
And I found it as it was raining on the way home, so I had to keep leaning over to turn the wiper switch on the dashboard, you know, because it's not a stock mounted and it doesn't have delay. And he looked at me like, you know, what are you doing? I said, yeah, I have to do this because this is the way you drive these cars. One hand on the stick shift, the other hand leaning over. So it's just cool. It's just nice things to think about. But I tell you what we're going to think about. We're going to think about a quick break, and we're going to come back, Carl, and we want to talk about auto theft.
Yes.
Yes, okay, absolutely, yeah.
And I want people to know they should listen to Sabor Latino on this station, Saturdays at 9, hosted in Spanish by Jose Espinoza and Lillian Newton. You can listen for the latest in salsa, merengue, cumbias, bajatas, reggaeton, yes, and romantic music. That was kind of
reggaeton.
I know. We're going to take a real quick break because I just got to get Joe back on the base. He has a kilt on, Carl. He was changing as I was speaking.
Why do you tell people this stuff?
Well, because this was your pick of the week, was the Lowland Fling, and I know you want to channel you into Scotty. So we're going to do that now. Quick break. And we'll
now I got to put them snaps in the right place. Otherwise, forget about it.
Yeah, and you know what?
We're all going to go running out of the station.
Yeah, adjust it right because we don't need the show. So we're gonna hear that. And Carl, we'll be back. We'll talk about auto theft with Carl Anthony from automoblog.net with Ray and Joe, Motor Mouth Radio on 90.3 WHPC.
Doing here at the radio station?
They're just tweeting.
They're kind of loud.
They'll stop soon. They're about to hit 140 characters.
Huh?
Oh, that's a good one. I'm retweeting that.
Oh no, not again.
You gotta like that.
That tweeter just tweeted all over the equipment.
Do you or do you not know about the bird?
Join the conversation on Twitter. Find us at 903-WHPC.
I'm not cleaning that up.
Hey, what's your big idea?
That's 903-WHPC on Twitter. From the voice of NASA Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Coming up at 12 o'clock today, Sunday, Motor Mouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D, talking about cars. And like I said, you don't have to know anything about cars to enjoy the show. People watch cooking shows, don't know how to cook. People watch those home repair shows, they don't know how to fix anything. So Motor Mouth Radio is the same thing. Think about it that way.
You know, Carl, you with us?
I am with you.
There was just something about a nice melodic guitar or piano verse that goes into power chords that really just flips my switch.
Absolutely. The idea of Joe in a kilt.
Yeah, that too. I'm not making any excuses
not
for it.
That down.
I just love a good set of power chords after some night. I love that transitional stuff. I don't know what it is. It's that's what makes me tick. So.
They don't make music like they used to, just like cars. They don't make them like they used to.
And you know what? Right. And you should put, you listen to the old music in the old cars. I always say, have your fog headache track handy. But now, tell us about what happens, the trends. Like, if you have all those grade A tracks and cassettes in your car and it gets stolen, there's a trend now with, NICV, right, has done a report about that. So
yeah.
Please tell us.
So we started diving into this. We posted an article yesterday on our site, just car theft by the numbers, and just looking at kind of the harrowing statistics behind car theft and then what you can do to protect yourself. So
I kind of twinged a little bit when I started reading this.
It's really something, guys. Like when I was diving into the statistics, writing it, You know, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says by their data, every 41 seconds in the U.S., a car is stolen, and only and over and almost half of them are not recovered. And so there are states that are higher than others. California and Alaska are among the highest. And
I was like, Alaska? Most, yeah, right.
Yeah.
I figured they'd be stealing sleds up there.
Get out of my head.
Right.
Yeah.
But the vehicles that remain the most stolen, a lot of times are ones that predate anti-theft technology. So
right.
That's why the Honda Accord is still the most commonly stolen vehicle. You know, many of those early Accord models do not have modern anti-theft technology.
Yeah, that's for the upper models, yeah.
Exactly. Chevy and Ford trucks are the most commonly stolen. So some of the patterns that we looked at, when we looked at studies from NHTSA, from drivingtest.org, from the NICB, you know, FBI's Uniform Crime Reporting Data, basically that these vehicles that are stolen, Honda Accords, Nissan Altimas, Toyota Camrys, Ford and Chevy trucks, when they're stripped for parts, they have a high black market value.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why they're commonly targeted. They're also targeted because they're popular and inconspicuous. Like, I mean, when you think about it, like, you know, you go to an average parking lot, I mean, you're going to see a lot of these types of vehicles. So stealing a car that, you know, if you're stealing a car that's a top seller, it's going to blend in very well.
Yep.
So
it's not like wearing a kilt.
No.
Yeah,
and playing power chords.
While playing power chords. Like,
hey, you're not sticking out like a sore thumb exactly.
Or, forget it.
Yeah. They're right.
Well, right.
Gee, I thought this was going to be a straight up piece, too.
Yeah.
Right. Well, like
thanks,
you said,
Paul.
With Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, you got to be careful.
Yes, yes, you know? Exactly.
What kind of tires did you buy?
Falcons. Four of them. Four Falcon tires I bought.
All right. Sorry. Come on, class. Back to our class.
Class.
Shut up. Okay. Now that we've quoted the classics.
Okay, good.
I'm sorry, Carl.
This is why I love this show. Why I love every time we get serious, there's always a diversion. Have you noticed that? Every time we get serious,
and what did I? What did I tell you in the email I wrote to you about? I said we know we're not going to stay on topic.
No, hell no.
We never plan. This is why I'm like, Ray, what are we going to talk about on the show? And it's like,
I don't know. What do you want to talk about?
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, hell
no.
Yeah.
I want to talk about what you want to talk about.
Yeah, we only get an hour a week to do this too. It's kind of a shame, but anyway,
it's
isn't it cool? And when they let us car people out during the day, it's crazy. When we get out in daylight, it's amazing.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Shop humor.
But the long story of it is, for those who are listening, and you know, it's just. There's a lot you can do on your own to prevent car theft. The majority of cars that are stolen are left unattended. They're left running. They're parked in not well lit areas. They're unlocked. So it's a lot of common sense stuff. And for us, you know, you guys, you know, out east, us here in Michigan, in states that are cold, like, this is very common. You think, oh, okay, I'll just run into the pharmacy for 5 minutes. I'll leave my vehicle running to keep it warm.
Right.
Like that's a bad idea. Don't do that, because that's the statistics show that those are the cars that are most likely to get stolen. And that, like, and we worked with the Michigan State Police on this, and they have just a wealth of data and information. But they say that, you know, car thieves are looking for the path of least resistance.
So absolutely.
If it's parked in a well-lit area, and it's a modern car, and it's got an alarm system, you know, and it's locked, you know, obviously that's a much harder target than if you're like, I'm going to run into the grocery store real quick, and I'm going to leave my car running and unlocked with valuables in plain sight. So sometimes preventing car theft is just exercising common sense. Don't leave valuables in plain sight. Lock your car, park it in a well-lit area, a parking garage that has, you know, security or something to that effect.
Very common in the middle down over here in Queens, where I live, is they go down the driveways, and you can see the security cameras that people put up on social media. Somebody comes in, tries the door, doesn't open. All right, they go to the next driveway, and they find the car that's open, and... they start pillaging.
You know, let me ask you a question, Joe, because I kind of skirt around this when I'm at the shop, but not in this respect. Let's say you had a car that needed a transponder key.
Right.
And you did stop at the pharmacy, and you went in, and the car remained running. What if somebody drove off with it? Would it continue to run, or would it, after it lost its link, would it shut
off? Well, I know somebody did that completely legally with an Altima, and the car ran. They went from Queens to, like, you know, from Bayside to Long Island City.
Okay.
Then they realized that they didn't have the key with them.
Right, right.
Shut the car off and double parked. And
oh, geez.
Then right. We had the trouble.
Okay, yeah. So it would run. It just, it wouldn't disable. Okay,
right,
got
yeah.
It.
But, yeah, that's one scenario there, because a lot of times they could circumvent, like, guys, you know, if it's an upper class thief, they have ways of scanning the codes and being able to crack into the car, or they kind of stake you out, and they when you go to use your remote, and then
it was like grabbing cell phone signals back in the day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's kind of cloning that, because a lot of these cars, I mean, like, you think about who wants, like, a frigging Camry or an Altima, you know?
Right.
Great car to rob a bank with. Yeah, he was driving a silver Camry. Okay.
All right. There's two on every street corner. Yeah. But what it is, too, is parts. Yeah.
Parts, right.
I mean, you know, you got that thing on the website there, because I remember working at a dealer, and somebody came in and priced out, I forget, this is back in, like, the late 80s. And at that point, I think it was, like, center caps for a set of, like, rally wheels.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, they were, like, $30 a piece or something. You know, like, a little bit of money back then. They're like, screw you, I'm going to go steal them.
Yeah.
Now, nice. Headlights, like, the Nissan headlights, they're, like, $2,000 a piece.
Sure.
So you get, you know, somebody that needs to set it up because the car was in a front-end hit and doesn't necessarily have the most scrupulous of repair service people there, you know?
Right.
The grill on the GMC, that's $1,500. Yikes!
Wow.
You know, that's somebody's deductible right there.
Yeah.
A few years ago here in Detroit, my car was actually stolen. It was stolen out right in front of where I live. And so I had a 2015 Ford Fusion.
Okay.
But it was the titanium trim level with the 19-inch wheel upgrade. Mm-hmm. And that's what they wanted.
So gone.
What they very systematically, what they ended up doing is they broke my back window, and they crawled through and they busted the automatic transmission, like, they to get it into neutral. And then they took another vehicle, a truck or a van or something, and then they pushed my car, like, farther down the street. Because when it was recovered, when the Detroit police recovered it, I was able to see it. And so there's a scraping on the back of the bumper. This is a common trick that happens. So they push it down the street to the corner or to somewhere else. They bust the steering column. So there's a guy steering it while another guy is pushing. And then they remove the wheels. And that was the only thing that they removed. Now, I didn't have any valuables in there, because I'm a firm believer to not keep valuables. But the stuff I had, like, I had a Cabela's jacket in there, I had my sunglasses, and they're like, not, but they didn't touch any of that stuff. They literally took my, I had a Detroit Lions hat in the back, you know, which, I mean, they didn't want a Lions hat because we're a terrible football team. So I was like, okay.
Yeah.
But, like, they took my wheels, and that was it. And the Detroit police explained to me, they said, this is very common. They look for this style of wheel, and Ford Fusion, that model year of Fusion, is just, it's notorious. Like, that's one of the most commonly stolen cars in the Detroit area, that and the Chevy Malibu, because with those wheel upgrades, they sell those wheels on the black market, and I guess they make a ton of money on it.
They get some nice money on that.
It's kind of, it's not funny, but it happened to our friend Kilowatt Kevin. His son had an Acura, and they stole that car right from under him, and the same thing, when they recovered it, the engine was gone.
Right.
The seats were gone. Someone took the leather interior out and put it in their car, and then put the cloth seats, like, into his car. Like, they threw it back in the car.
They did a swap, so that way they could...
And some of the wheels, they took all the stuff they wanted to upgrade their own base model car.
Sure.
And,
In Queens, I mean, it's not unusual. I mean, it's like to find at least one Honda or Acura every, like, five blocks up on milk crates.
Yeah.
They're constantly snagging the wheels on them things. It's a known thing. I'm like, I tell people with those cars, put them in the driveway.
Yeah,
keep the pit bull. Give him a little bit more chain there, whatever. Yeah. Because
it's
a biggie.
It's really and you hate to say this, but it really is common sense stuff. I mean, honestly, I had a garage, and this was at my old place in Detroit. Like, I had a garage, and like a dummy, I parked in the street that night. You know, I was late coming home. I had boxes and stuff in the garage. Like, I didn't want to take the time to move them. I should have parked in the garage. It was just like some of this stuff preventing car theft. Like when we were doing this study and we were looking at all this data, was like, it's a lot of just if you just keep your car locked, park it in your garage, you know, well lit areas, you can do a lot to prevent that from happening to you.
Right.
Minimize the targets of opportunity is basically
exactly.
It.
Absolutely. Yeah.
No. That was the same thing. That's what the Michigan State Police said to us too. That crime like car theft is crime of opportunity, and the easier the opportunity, the more likely it is.
Carl, tell listeners please where they can find that article for themselves, where they can read it, so they know.
Yeah. Yeah, it is the first. It's one of the first two articles on our homepage.
Yes,
Automoblog. Yep, automoblog.net. AUTOMO and then blog blog.net. The article's called "Car Theft by the Numbers," and it's the first article you'll see on our homepage. It goes through all the stat. Basically, the most recent available statistics are 2017. That's the most readily available data. Mm-hmm. So it goes through all that. What cars are at risk? What states are at risk? What states have seen the biggest decrease? And then ultimately, in talking with law enforcement, like what you can do to just minimize your chances of your car being stolen. Right. But yeah, that's on the front of our homepage as of now. Okay.
And people can subscribe to also get updates about that, so they can never miss.
There's a lot of news. There's a lot of great articles on that website in general.
Yes.
You know what's really funny? I was just looking at the map again. What is that, Illinois and Wisconsin? They steal Chrysler minivans?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
And what is it up in
the
peninsula?
Else.
What's in that upper peninsula by Michigan? It's in green. There was a car that was up there.
Chevy Impala.
And what's the other? There's another light green one, too. What was that?
Dodge Caravan.
Yeah.
The other one. It's kind of tough to see, but there's a Dodge Caravan. Chevy Impala is the most stolen vehicle in Michigan. And then according to the Michigan State Police, Michigan ranks 10th in the nation for overall car thefts.
Wow. No kidding.
So it's in some of the statistics, some of them match up, some of them don't. Like it always depends on the metrics. But the bottom line is that, you know, it's, you know, on average, there's about $6 billion a year that's lost due to car theft. So that's a pretty unanimous statistic across the board. There's a huge economic impact. There's a financial impact for average everyday families. And, you know, and you do the best you can. And then one of the things we said in the article is that if somebody does confront you, just give them your keys. And that was one thing that when we were doing, the Michigan State Police said, look, if you're in a situation, you know, and a car thief confronts you, just, it's not worth your life. Give them your keys and just get out.
Yep.
With some of my cars, that would be the best revenge.
Yeah, right.
right?
There you go.
Yeah, here you go, buddy.
Good luck.
Yeah.
You want me to tell you how to start this thing?
Yeah.
Right. Oh, please take these leaky block halves off my hands, please.
There you go.
You know, wait till you get to the third clutch housing and the transmission and you get that bill.
Yeah,
please
right.
Take this car.
Sure.
you know.
All right. Well, Carl, we thank you for the time.
Hey, guys,
we got to move along and we got a couple other calls stacked up, so we're going to take those. And we look forward to speaking with you again
soon, always, man. Yes,
on this
for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you guys so much. You enjoy the rest of the day.
Thanks, Carl.
Thanks, Carl.
So long.
Take care.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
All right, that was Mr. Carl Anthony from automoblog.net. Good friend of ours, keeps us informed of all the stuff that
keeps us laughing too.
Right. I think that goes both ways.
Yep.
We're going to play our last break, and don't let the blues get you down. I know we're both big blues guys, so
Where's that Prozac?
Let's try a little bit of that, and we'll be back with a little bit more Motormouth Radio, Joe D, Ray Guarino on 90.3 WHPC.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday evening at 6 on Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday evening at 6 on Revelations, right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC. Please stay tuned for Motormouth Radio on Sundays at 12 noon, every Sunday, exclusively on WHPC. Join the Motormouths, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Features, information, guest interviews, tech tips, and all your call-in questions on all topics relating to automobiles. And these guys know their stuff. In case you haven't heard this show, not only is it very informative, it is hilarious at times. A lot of call-ins and a lot of crazy people calling in with problems with their cars. And, okay, Joe and Ray offering their expert opinion on these things and doing it in a somewhat comical fashion.
That's right, in New York, in New Jersey, in Connecticut, wherever you're in a tri-state area, or across the country.
Wherever the radio waves reach, or this day, the interweb waves.
That's right, on Motormouth Radio.
You can't get away.
You can get a hold of us if you want to call in. We got a few minutes left, 516-572-7440.
I see, and as you say that, the light lights up.
Is taking advantage of that, so we'll go to the phones and say hi. You're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, good morning. It's Tom from Massapequa. How are you guys today?
Hey, Tom. What's happening?
Oh, everything's good. I was concerned for Joe. Does that situation that the general, does it burn or anything? Is the nurses' station open today at camp on campus?
No.
Yeah, well,
nothing we can't fix with a little fire extinguisher.
Well, Joe switched from a wool kilt to a more of a blended material, so it doesn't really chafe as much anymore. It's nice.
Right, yeah.
Okay. The natural fiber. Is the sore some condition, a lifetime condition, or is it just a...
That's going a little too deep, Tom. Yeah.
Anyway, hey, my question is, with the car theft, do like 95% of cars in the last 15 years have like a chip in them that they could all be like LoJack, like GPS or something?
Well, not so much that. I mean, they've pretty much, many car companies now, except for maybe the lower models, have some type of anti-theft system which is based on a chip type key.
And LoJack is in addition to that. LoJack's a third party system.
Right. You know, sometimes like some of the car companies, like say OnStar, they build it in. Mercedes has it. You know,
and BMW.
Yeah, Acura. Yeah, they're out there. You know, so there is a combination. But some. Then again, depending on the caliber of the crook, you know what I mean? They know how to disable those things pretty quickly. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean.
Oh, I was just talking about trying to track it down after the fact, okay? Because, you went to OnStar, right? I think Chevy even has OnStar.
Yeah, well,
I'm talking about more than the key. I just want to get an idea of that other thing, like the OnStar. Don't most of the cars have it now or not? Like a Honda Accord, does it have whatever you would call OnStar now, whatever that technology is?
A lot of them have it as an option of some type, you know, as you go into the upper levels, you know, because the OnStar, you know, that's part of the GPS. You know, I'm using OnStar generically, like it's kind of like saying like Xerox.
Yeah.
But there's a GPS function which now puts you onto the interweb, and you know, at that point, it's no big deal to also include some type of tracking device too, because GPS too, you know, they kind of knows where you are
with your mapping system. Yeah, if you got a map system in your car that's intuitive, you have
Big Brother
GPS.
Is watching.
Yeah, absolutely.
And do all the auto companies and the law enforcement agencies have access to that? You know, like the way you used to sign up for LoJack, now is it an automatic thing if you have that built into your car? And is it being used? I was just curious about that.
Not necessarily. Besides that, you got to remember, if they want your car for chop shop purposes, that thing is gone
and disabled, battery killed, you know, tinfoil wrapped around its head.
We just got, I just got a text from an expert in the field.
Ah, yes.
I won't tip our hat to who it is, but he knows. And he says it used to be a yellow cord underneath the glove compartment area that was used to disconnect the OnStar so it couldn't be tracked. And this is one of our friends who definitely worked in auto crime for the police and now does insurance theft stuff, so he knows his deal. So yeah, like Joe said, a smarter thief is going to know how to, instead of busting a vent window and jimmying an ignition switch, now it's electronic. So
I mean, back in the 80s and the early 90s, GM cars, you could hit if you had a screwdriver and a hammer, you can get into that thing in about maybe 15 seconds.
I think the same thing applies. If they want it and they're smart enough, they're going to get it.
Sure.
Great. Okay, guys, one last question. I'll let you go. When you have these cars with the really popular wheels,
right?
If you put wheel locks on, it used to be there was one wheel lock on each set wheel. Uh-huh. Does it make sense to put like six wheel locks on each? How does that work?
Your mechanic is going to hate you.
No, it'll slow a thief.
Your mechanic,
the guy who's got to do your tire, brake jobs, high rotations, and whatnot.
It'll slow a thief down, but if they don't have the key, now usually the key is in the glove box or in the back. But even if they don't, there's commercial kits that you can buy that'll break off the wheel locks. I mean, it's used for mechanics who get a car that,
I don't know what.
So it'll slow them down. But if they're doing that on the street, it's one thing. If they're doing it in a chop shop location, hey, they have their time. They can take all the time they want.
Okay, got it. Like if they flatbed it or something. Okay, guys, thanks a lot. Your show is great. Have a wonderful day.
Much appreciated. Thanks, Tom.
Bye bye.
So long. Yeah, auto theft and auto crime is something that really gets. you got to just hope that you're not a statistic. And
exactly. Also, yes, Jim, we're all paranoid now.
Our experts also said that most cars are now getting stolen with duplicate keys made by unscrupulous service managers or parts managers for the crooks, unknowingly using false documentation.
I have heard about that, yes.
I'll go back to the 70s. My older brother had a friend who was doing some repos, and they asked me, asked my brother, because I was, a teenager, to go to a local Chrysler dealer and get a key made, and he gave me a key number and just said, tell him it's your mother's car and she needs a duplicate. And I, unknowingly, I did that.
Right.
And this guy used that to repo a car. Now, he could have been using it to steal a car, too. But
exactly.
So, again, there's all sorts of stuff.
At the dealership, when I used to work, we used to have, show me paperwork. Yeah, but it's my guy. Show me paperwork.
Well, this was the 70s, it's like.
Yeah, because nobody went through that much crap. You just went in there with a pair of dykes and a screwdriver, and you just snip, snip, zap, you hotwired a car.
At that point, they asked the kid on the other side of the counter, show me some paperwork. You give him like a thing of big bamboo. Like, here's my paperwork, man.
I got a pipe.
Yeah, right. But anyway, it was the 70s. So,
if it was an upscale car, it would have been a bong.
Yeah, there you go. So anyway, we are coming to the end of our show. We have a few minutes left.
Mercifully.
We don't have a guest scheduled for next week, although we may...
We scared them all off now, right? Forget it.
We are working on a few. And we had a lead from Tom Cotter, our guest from last week, on TV Tommy Ivo.
Yes.
Well, TV Tommy got back to me this morning.
Yes.
And basically explained...
That's a different time zone.
Well, for him, he says he lives kind of like a vampire, so he sleeps. So we're not going to get him on the show.
Right, he's even less normal than we are.
I think so.
At least as far as sleeping habits.
So we will go back to our red list. We always have lists of
there's guests. Always people out there that somehow want to come in here and get abused by us, or you, the people who listen to call in and abuse us.
There's a few others. We had a postpone stuff because of the live remote and because of the fundraising and the week off and all of that. And then we have Mother's Day coming up the second week in May. Don't forget, that's our Mother's Day extravaganza that we do from a different undisclosed location.
Mm.
So that's a day where we don't have a guest. And the week after that, we're doing a live remote again on the 19th at Tobey Beach, the car show, the Town of Oyster Bay car show.
Yep.
So, we're a little disruptive.
There's stuff happening, but don't worry,
Yeah.
Whether it's a guest or whether it's a remote someplace where no one has gone before. And
yeah,
we'll be there, and it'll be kind of sort of interesting.
A bit of a disruptive phase, but we'll get back on track. And like I said, I've been juggling the guests. We were going to get back Dan Short again. We were going to get back Tony from Tony's Parts, Tony D'Agostino,
right?
And a couple of these guys we kind of put to the side. They're waiting to come back in, just waiting for the go ahead. And until then, we have plenty to talk about. We'll fill in with our own.
Yeah, there's more kilt wearing tips coming
absolutely
up. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to actually wear one of these days just to screw you up.
Yeah, that would.
The only thing is I'll have to warn Kim.
Good idea.
Because we don't want to scar her for life.
Right.
No collateral damage amongst the station crew there.
Exactly.
Know?
We need Kim around here. She's an asset to the station and to us, so we don't want to scar her for
life. And don't forget to stay tuned because we got Thunder Road coming.
Absolutely. And with that, we're going to be out of here. Ray Guarino, Joe D, Motormouth Radio.
Check WHPC.
Yeah, go on the web and check us there, and we'll see you next week. Bye.